I am so mixed on wearables. And what I mean by that is like smartwatches, heart rate monitors, and sleep devices, and et cetera, stuff that you wear to try and improve your health. But I'm like, does it really improve your health? As a doctor, I'm seeing more and more people coming in, especially to a hospital, freaking out about their physical well-being because of these wearables. And today I wanted to cover that because I think it's a growing problem. You know, we give people, and I think having access as a patient to your own health and, you know, well-being is important, but is also kind of that information can be scary in the wrong hands. And I don't mean that the patients are the wrong hands, I just mean it's almost impossible to interpret some information if you don't have any medical knowledge about it. All you have to do is go onto Google, right? And what did I Google the other day? Something like really not that problematic, and it was like, you should seek urgent medical attention for this, you need to go and see a doctor and get a blood test. And I was like, what blood test do you need? And the thing is with, and this is a whole different subject, but like Dr. Google, and people know they shouldn't do it, because the thing is, Google can't like take into account other factors and social situations and, you know, lots of other things. But and they can't be very pragmatic. They're just very like, right, this is the answer or this isn't the answer. And I think that's kind of the same with wearables. And I'm going to tell you a little story, and I'm going to tell you why. Look, I don't wear one. I'm like, I'm not against them. I'm just a bit, I think they have their uses, and I think they also have significant downsides. So let's get into that. So I think I told this story before, but basically this is not an uncommon thing where somebody comes into hospital and they go, my smartwatch has told me that my heart rate is 105 and it's told me that that's too high. And but they feel absolutely fine, like they have no symptoms whatsoever. And some people can be, and I did a whole episode on being ruled by numbers and a sort of number-based you know, success, but how can we change that? But this is like kind of a little bit different. Whilst it's numbers, it's also, there is a lot of health anxiety at the moment, and I don't think that's going to go away, unfortunately. I think we're only probably going to get more anxious about our health as we know more. There's a reason why they say ignorance is bliss, and that's because it is. And the more we know about our health or our problems or what's going on, sometimes it can be beneficial, but sometimes it can actually just make people who have anxiety or health anxiety worse. And that is a really difficult balance to get, because, you know, if we knew somebody had health anxiety, would we give them a constant heart rate monitor? No, because it's alarming, or, you know, some of these things do more harm than good. But yet they are readily available to purchase on the market, and people are and do want to be, you know, more health conscious and want to be, you know, well. And especially people of my generation, what am I? Millennial, I think. People of my generation, we want to be well, and self-care is really important, but it's also kind of flipping the other way. And I am a bit like, I'm trying to like warn you, please take wearables with a pinch of salt. So I think let's talk about I've talked about the types. I have had a Fitbit in the past. I haven't had an Apple Watch. I do have a MyZone belt. And I'm going to talk to you about why, because it does sound a bit contradictory that I'm like, I don't agree with wearables, or like I don't have one, but then actually I do have one. Because I do have one, but I'm going to talk to you about in what situations I use it and why I don't have an Apple Watch or whatever. Probably so. I think they are good for some people. For some people, they do motivate you to exercise or do more, especially if you, like nowadays it can be really hard if the weather's crap or it's dark or you might not even realize that you're being inactive. Like, some people probably don't realize that they're only getting like 2,000 steps a day. And yes, that's another number-based thing, but like, it's also, you just don't realize because you're like, right, well, I'll just go from here to there, and then I have an office job, and then I get it, you know, walk from the office to the car, and that's literally right outside, and you just don't think about it. And I'm not blaming anybody for that. That's just how society is nowadays. So it can, how many steps have I done today? We did a lot of walking around. I couldn't even tell you. That's the problem. I would say maybe 7,000. That's a guess. Like, we went and got the bus, and then we went to a museum in town, and then we walked around a lot, and then we got the bus back. So, you know, it's a fair amount of walking, but I wouldn't also be surprised if it said 5,000. Let's have a look. Oh, 8,348. So I did quite a lot today. Yesterday it says I only did 2,288, but I don't carry my phone around with me. And I'm pretty sure I did more than that. So, yeah. But I mean, average, apparently I only do usually about 4,000. So, 5,000. I think that might be from the week. Yeah, 5,200 is my, 250 is my average over the last week. So it's not great, but I also do exercise, and I also don't carry my phone around with me everywhere. So I put it down, I leave it in the house, and I just, you know, I go out and I do stuff, and I don't always take it with me. To be fair, I don't usually leave the house without it. But I have thought about getting an Apple Watch. The problem is, I see a lot of people have it on their phone, and they don't necessarily use it as like a watch. It's more of a, do I have any messages? And it's not acceptable to get my phone out right away. So I see people get a lot of their messages on their app, and I don't want that. I literally, my phone is on silent 99% of the time. The only thing I've turned it off for is if I know I'm expecting a call, or for certain people it will ring out loud because I know that they'll be angry if I don't answer. So for some of my friends and my boyfriend and my parents, and that is literally it. So for most other people, it's not going to go off. And it's face down over here, and I don't even know where it is. So I don't want constant reminders that people are messaging me. Like, I just don't need it. If I am expecting to meet up with somebody, I can just go and look at my phone. I don't need to be constantly texted. I just think it's like a bit of a mind fuck, to be quite honest. And I'm sure you can turn it off, but then I'm like, well, what's the point? I thought about getting one for a while. I thought about getting a Fitbit, maybe like a cheap one, because I wanted to know, you know, how active am I being? How many calories am I burning in a day? So that I know how much a deficit I need to be in. But the thing is, I can just feel, I don't know. Sometimes it's easier to have a number, but sometimes I'm like, well, I can just feel like if I'm, you know, a bit, if I'm hungry or not. And it's trying to make me tune into my body more. I also think one of the benefits for me having a heart rate monitor on when I exercise, and that is the key thing here, is I only have it on when I exercise. I don't wear it otherwise. I have it on when I exercise because I push myself too hard. And I know that sounds really stupid, like, whatever, Dawn, you can't push yourself too hard. You can, because what I can't tell the difference between me working at 50% and me working at 90%. I can't figure out like how hard I'm working. So what I end up doing is I end up going, right, well, I'm going to work as hard as I can. Obviously not like as hard as I can, like 100%. Then I end up burning myself out and really struggling for the rest of the class, and it's not really enjoyable, or the rest of the session. So it's better for me to pace myself. And what I do is I go, okay, my heart rate is 170. I know that I, you know, my red range, my like really high range is 100 and what would it be? 190. So if my heart rate's 170, I'm already working pretty hard. So, you know, it really helps me gauge like how am I actually working hard, am I not? Am I gonna completely overburn myself and not be able to carry on with the next exercise? And you could say, well, you should be working like 90% all the time, but that's not the case. Like, you shouldn't be. If you watch any athlete, they're not, I'm calling myself an athlete, but like if you do watch any athlete, it's about not spending all of your energy in the first 5 minutes and then not being able to do the rest of the competition, because you need to pace yourself. That's literally what everyone says, like, you need to pace yourself. And I'm rubbish at pacing myself unless I have a number that says, right, you are working this hard, like 85%, and then I can say, okay, I'll work at this rate rather than speeding myself up. So that is where I think it's good. Also, it means, like, it, I don't know whether this is a good thing or not, but I can, like, log my exercise and I can also see improvement. That's, I guess, another good thing. So I also think they can be good to diagnose conditions. So they, you know, we can get those ECGs on the Apple Watch, and I do think that's good for, like, a one, you know, one time thing to diagnose a condition. But if you're constantly monitoring yourself, like, who sits there unless you're in hospital and constantly monitors themselves, like, what's my heart rate doing now? What rhythm am I in now? It's just, like, not a healthy mindset to be in. You need to, like, get out of your head and get, you know, just live and just accept that, you know, your heart rate is going to be a different rate or whatever, and judge it by what symptoms you have. Like, how do you feel? And this is another issue that I have, is a lot of people go, oh, my sleep was only 50% last night. I feel like that might end up making you feel significantly worse, because you're like, oh god, my sleep was only 50% last night, and it might not even be accurate. You, like, we're forgetting that, right? And one guy showed me his, like, tracing thing. It wasn't even an ECG. I was like, that's not an ECG. That's a pulse thing. And it was very inaccurate, having watched it happen. I was like, it's not even accurate. So, you know, we also have to question the accuracy of these things. And I think that's why people go to doctors. And, you know, maybe doctors aren't 100% accurate, and I get that, but there's a bit more logic that goes into it rather than, oh, your heart rate is this or your heart rate is not this. Because we can go, well, wait there, let me feel your pulse. Or wait there, let me look at you, or let me listen to your heart. Whereas an app on a phone isn't going to go, oh, your heart rate says it's 140, but actually I measured your pulse and it's not 140. Like, it was just badly read. You know, it's like when people have cold hands and we put a SATS probe on them, and it says like 60%, and you look at the patient and they're just like, chilling, I'm fine. And you're like, your SATs aren't 60%. So then you put it like some, you know, you make them warm their hand up, or you use an ear probe, or you put it on a warmer hand, you know, if they've had like a glove off or something. And that's just, you know, sensical. But the apps don't think like that. They don't have the sense. So, you know, it's just, I'm not trying to compare doctors to these apps, but I think it's good to seek medical help if you're, you know, if you're concerned, especially if you have symptoms. But to take an app at face value over a doctor, and I think that is sort of especially a concern recently, was that I saw somebody who was just more concerned about the app than actually, like, let's say me as a doctor, the doctor was saying you're fine, and that it just wasn't really being believed. So that can be really challenging. The other issues I've seen are more of like mental health issues. Number one, I've seen people try and get their step count up by doing this, shaking their hand whilst they're stood still. They're not even walking. The other thing people do is walk on the spot. I don't, obviously it's still exercise, but I don't really know if that's the same effect. So it's kind of falsifying, and it's fine, you're only lying to yourself, right? But it's like, what's the point? And my other thought is, do we even need these wearables? Like, can't I just tell you that I'm tired? Can't I just tell you that my pulse is, like, you know, your pulse is really easy to measure. All you have to do is feel here. You might not be able to see that. Or you can feel in your neck. Very good pulse there. You don't feel both sides though, guys, because that's how you pass out. So you can feel in your neck, in between this muscle here and like the throaty bit, right there. Yeah, there's my pulse. Lovely. I'm still alive. Ha ha ha. That's the joke that So many patients make this joke, like, oh, what do they make a joke about, like, oh, maybe I'm dead. Like, oh, I can't feel your pulse. They're like, well, maybe I'm dead. And I'm like, haha, no, your pulse is just rubbish. Or I can't find it. Or some people's pulses just aren't very good. Sometimes I need to go up here. In fact, I can't even feel mine there. Maybe I'm dead. What's the other thing people say? Oh, I probably haven't got any blood left. You know, when you take like blood from people really often, they're like, oh, I haven't got any blood left. Haha. You do, otherwise you would be dead. Like the previous joke you made. I don't know. I think people just say these things because they feel awkward in the time. They're like, I need to fill this space. So I'm just going to say something. Cliche joke about being dead. So I would say when I was younger, I did actually have I would call it a wearable. It was a heart rate watch and it had a strap. And I used it to track my exercise. I became pretty obsessed with it. And I think this is kind of the concern, is people might be like obsessed with, right, I need to burn 500 calories at the gym today, otherwise I failed. And it's like, rather than just doing exercise for, you know, like a class or for when you stop when you feel tired, or like, you know, enough time has lapsed or the class has finished, what I would do is I would work to a number. I'd be like, right, I need to burn 1,000 calories in the gym. And like, honestly, that was insane, but like, that's what I did. And I think it can be quite damaging to have that kind of power in your own hands, especially when you're working unsafely towards that number. So, I mean, I don't really know how we get around that, but I guess I have got some healthier ways to look at this. And the reason why I did this episode in particular was because of the smartwatch person that I saw in hospital, but also because I was listening to a podcast the other day and they were saying about how they have a smartwatch that they wear to bed and it tells them how well they slept last night, and or like how recovered they are. Actually, it was how recovered are you for exercise the next day. And they said that they had a race, like a running race, and the main issue they had was that the watch would say, well, you're only 70% recovered, you're not fully recovered. And that would freak them out mentally, and mentally they would be like, oh my god, I'm not recovered, I'm not going to do well, why am I doing this race? And then what they did was they just took it off 2 days before the race. They would just take it off because it doesn't change anything, it doesn't benefit you, and it doesn't make a difference. Like, you're gonna be tired, like that's just the situation, right? You can't change it, you can't go back in time. And also you're going to be tired from doing all of this exercise anyway, so it's like, well, tough shit basically. So I guess the point is that, like, don't get too obsessed with wearing it 100% of the time. You know, if you don't wear it for a night, so be it, whatever. But I guess you can feel like, and they make you feel, these apps and watches, they make you feel like, oh, I haven't tracked my steps today. I even heard my friend say today, Holly, she was like, oh, I should be tracking this walk on Strava. And I was like, why? I don't know if it was a joke, but I was like, do we need to? But I mean, I guess I track my steps, just track automatically, I don't put it on. But it makes you feel like, you know, I've got something to show for it now. And that's the danger, isn't it? So take it off when you don't really need it. I only use mine during exercise. And that's only because I need to figure out what target, you know, heart rate I need to be in. And that's because I just can't figure it out. I've tried for many years. Can I hold a sentence? No. But I just, you know, all of that goes out the window when I'm like in a competition with somebody else, like an inverted competition. It's not a planned competition, I'm just like competitive. So then I end up pushing myself really hard and kind of dying. And yeah, you could say that's good, but it's not good for like long-term enjoyment of exercise. And that is kind of important, you know, to keep exercising, we need to actually enjoy it. So another way is just exercising because you enjoy it, rather than I need to burn a certain number of calories. And this is being really mindful of, am I doing this because of a number? Am I doing this because my watch says so? Am I doing this because an app says I need to exercise more, or am I doing it because I actually enjoy it? Isn't life about enjoying it rather than just like, oh, I need to do something because an app tells me I'm not being active enough or stuff like that? And that's kind of forgotten about, I think. You know, the gamification, especially of these apps, is especially Duolingo. That's like, it basically plays this like di-di-ding sound whenever you get something right. And I've noticed how gamified it is. And I could talk about gamification, but I think that's a whole nother episode, to be honest. But basically, we get like this dopamine release from succeeding in certain goals, and like the app basically rewards us and we go, oh, okay, fine, I'll do it again, rather than going like, oh, okay, I need a rest day today, I'm really tired, I'm gonna listen to my body. We go, oh, but the watch is telling me that, you know, I'm about to beat my streak or whatever. And we forget how we feel. I know this is real, like, oh, we forget how we feel, but like, it is important to actually register, like, how do I feel inside? And my dad would always say to me, like, Dawn, rest days are more important than the actual exercise, because, well, not more important, but definitely equally important, because we need to be able to recover to carry on exercising. And that was, I need to ring him actually, maybe I should do that tonight, because he taught me a lot of things about, you know, exercising and recovery. And he always said sleep was super important, so, and eating as well. You know, we did lots of fitness together. So I think that's going to be it on wearables. Guys, just be mindful, just think, like, do I need to be wearing a watch all the time? Do I need to be tracking everything? Do I need to be monitoring my heart rate and how many calories I've burned and how many steps I've done? And 10,000 is just a random number plucked from the air. There's no data behind the 10,000 steps thing, you know? In fact, we might not even be doing steps, but we might be swimming 500 lengths and be equally as active, but only do 1,000 steps a day. But just because we haven't done 10,000 steps doesn't mean we're not fit and active. Do you get what I mean? So anyway, I think that's going to be it. This is, you know, I was really nearly tempted, but it's just another thing to like buy. Like, I looked at the Apple Watches, they're like 500 quid or something. I'm like, and you always want to buy the higher one, right? Because it's like, oh, I don't have that specific. It always basically says like what you don't have, and you're like, oh, I'm missing out on the extra, you know, 1.4 megabytes per second of whatever. I don't know, I'm making shit up now. But you're always like, oh, I'm missing out slightly because it's told me what I haven't got. And this is good marketing technique. And that's what makes you buy the higher option. You haven't got this, you want it, don't you? Yeah, because otherwise you're not going to be able to track your sleep to the nth degree. Anyway, that is my 2 cents on wearables and how I feel about them. Doesn't mean I'm not going to get a wearable in the future. But I don't look at watches. And I've got my phone on me anyway, and I wear my heart rate monitor for exercise, not all the time, but for cardio. And that's it. Do I need to do any more? I don't know. I don't need to know how well I'm sleeping, or I can just go, oh, I slept all right last night, I feel tired today. You know, those were 2 separate statements, but they sounded like the same one. Anyway, guys, this has been Backseat Positivity. I've been your host, Dawn Barlow, Dr. Dawn Barlow. And I don't know why I always sing it. I feel like I need a jingle. I think that's what it is. And I upload every Monday and Thursdays. We discuss all things health, fitness, positive, and happiness. And I hope you've had a good week. And I hope you've had a good episode. If you liked it, like, please share the love, you know, down below. Comment, like, etc. 5-star rating, any of the above. You don't have to do all of them, that would be mean. So yeah, I'll see you in the next episode. Whew.